Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I am thrilled today to have Melanie Mitchell Wexler with me. Say that four times fast. Welcome, Melanie.
Welcome. Thank you, Maria. So yes, my name is Melanie Mitchell Wexler, and I'm a career coach and a LinkedIn strategist. Was a recruiter for over 20 years before I became a career coach, and now I work with individuals throughout the United States of professionals of all different that come from all different industries, life experiences, and you know, really just help them land hopefully their dream jobs.
That's awesome. Well, so today we're going to start out. I know that you have just been through a traumatic life event. Yeah. And so let's start out. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So back at the end of, it seems like ages ago, but the end of August, right before the 1st of September, I had a flood in my apartment. And it was actually the second flood. I had just overcome the first flood, but that one was relatively small. And this one, unfortunately, wasn't. So it required me to take myself and my cat, because my kids are old, and we've been living remotely in a hotel. We're still in our little lap of semi-luxury, I suppose. Today tomorrow will be the official end of that. But had to move completely out, and really pretty much everything was damaged. There's very little that was from the big furniture, little that was salvaged. It was a water pipe that had busted, and being on the bottom floor, you get the brunt of the damage, I suppose. So been going through that, and it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, and learning how to continue to function and day to day, and but also just overcoming, thinking about everything, but also running a business and having to, you can't just stop and be like, well, that happened, and, can't do anything else. So it's been an interesting experience.
First of all, I'm so sorry that both of those floods happened to you. And for our listeners, I'm guessing there are other people who have been in a situation where all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? So tell us, Melanie, what kinds of messages did your mind give you when this first happened? Like, what was sort of your first thing of like, oh wow, and what did you do?
Yeah, and first I want to say too, like just in retrospect, of course, we have so many people down in Florida and gone through way much worse than I have. So like, I mean that, life, throws you perspectives, drastically. So I was very, in the big picture of things, very fortunate from that standpoint. So, in the moment that I literally have gone through anger in the very beginning, because we had just gotten through this, and I totally lost it and just was like super angry at like how in this world this, and it's not like somebody could know that a water pipe's going to bust and, but I went through anger, pure exhaustion, especially those first few days. Because we were having to go to different hotels because I paid for one hotel and then the insurance didn't pay, like the insurance didn't have a contract with that hotel. So I had to move hotels. Mm-hmm. So it's just like really pure exhaustion, literally realizing I only had whatever clothes I could pull from in that moment. And then going, oh, I don't have this or I don't have that. And then also just like, I have become a crier I don't know that I was a crier as a younger child, but as an adult, I definitely have become a crier. And so, of course, when you're emotionally charged, that's usually how that's how it let out for me. And so, but then also just trying to get back to some semblance of normalcy and just like live my life like accordingly, like I was, and just in a different space. So I literally
Right.
run the gamut of emotions.
It's so understandable. So let's take, so start with anger. What did you like? Do you feel comfortable expressing anger? And what did you do to sort of get that out of your system? Or did you get it out of your system?
Yeah, I mean, I also suffer from anxiety. So, and before I would have my anxiety kind of under control, and I want to say it's relatively under control for the most part. Anger was my go-to emotion when I would get very anxious. So I've been very mindful of really not going there, because that impacted relationships, personal relationships, relationships with kids, and just really try not to go to that anger stage. Because when I get angry, I get angry. And I definitely in that moment, I just like I let loose on the poor a maintenance man who was standing on the phone with him, and he was like, "I'm waiting for permission to walk inside the apartment that was where the flat." And I was like the demon in him. I was like, "Go out there," and I was like, "You just go in that apartment now." I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "What are you?" He's like, "I need permission." I was like, "You have permission. Go now." I was like, "If your boss has an issue, I'll deal with it." I was literally, "What are you doing?" So I definitely got all, I definitely got all my anger out, in the in that very beginning. But it's exhausting, to have just that all that. I suppose it's more of the adrenaline of just being in that moment and then anger and then the emotions and just like, okay, what are we gonna do? Because in that first moment, I'm like looking at my finances and thinking, I can't live in a hotel for, beyond. I hadn't talked to the insurance, adjuster at that point. So I never have had to deal with the insurance like this. So I didn't know what to expect. And there's all these things that you go through. But yeah, the anger, I definitely would say I got that out very early. So
Have you ever, so talking about anger, have you ever done exercises specifically to release anger?
I have done a few in there was a workshop I attended several years ago that we did have some anger release anger release exercises. Screaming into a pillow, I think, was one of them. And so I've done that. And so that's been, I think that the biggest thing for me when it comes to the anger piece is just to being able to say, not allowing, if I have an anxious moment, of not going directly there to redirecting those emotions more, in a different, and being able to direct them in a different manner so that it come out to of an attack mode on somebody else. So
Okay, and so how do you, how have you, what is your process for redirecting?
my really honestly taking a moment and stepping back and not responding in that moment or in that time and not responding in just taking the time that I need to reflect and let that moment really kind of calm itself down and then respond. And having that moment to where I may not even necessarily think about what this situation or circumstance is, but then being able to really say, okay, I'm in a better space now. I can have a conversation. I can collect my thoughts. I can sound like a reasonable person. And being able to, be in that kind of space.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, and going back to crying, I'm a big fan of crying. I think more people should cry because it's our body's, I mean, I think of it as like the body's natural cleansing process. So how did you become a crier?
I definitely became a crier because unfortunately, it was funny because I was tearing up right before I did this. I was like, why would I post this? I reposted something from Facebook and I'll get to that in a minute. I was like, okay, that was stupid as saying like you're gonna post something about your mom right before you.
Oh no.
There we go. Sorry.
Okay. Welcome back.
So yeah, no, I lost my dad in 2000. See if I can do all these years right. 2020.
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, in 2019. Went through that process, and then we found out my mom had cancer.
Oh.
Really the month after we finally had my dad's services. And so that would have been 2019. And then by the end of 2020, she also had passed. So kind of going through all of that. And so literally on Facebook right before jumping on here, and it was about a post, which was ironic because the post was it was October of 2020. I actually went back to Missouri to live with her for, it ended up being for like a month and a half or so. And there was a picture of anybody that knows me. You can even check on my Instagram. You'll see pictures of my cat. He's, you know, he's the third child. He's the baby. My kids are the favorite. You know, I call him the coworker, but he travels. My mom has, we still have him. He's our little brother, miniature Doberman Pinscher. He's a miniature Doberman Pinscher Chihuahua mix. Don't ask.
Oh, but wow.
Gunner. And he's also very spoiled and he now lives with my sister. But ironically, this was the memory that popped up on Facebook today was us moving out there temporarily. And I thought, oh, how ironic. Given for the last month we've been living here in this hotel temporarily.
Right.
And so literally was like, and you know, we're supposed to move back. So I thought, oh well, that's ironic timing. that you know, for this time like this time 2 years ago, we were uprooting. We were doing it by choice, but you know, we were uprooting.
Yeah.
Life and you know, Simpson is his name. You know, he's right there with me. Cat, you know, he's traveled the country multiple times. He's a great flyer.
Excuse me, sorry. That's amazing that he travels with you like that.
Yeah, he's an amazing flyer. I will say that. He hates to be in a car ride, but he's a great airplane rider. He's traveled with his sister. So, I mean, he is a great flyer. And I just found it ironic. I, you know, always kind of that we were both 2 years apart in very similar kind of transitional time in my life. So, but yeah, definitely just losing my parents has, you know, definitely just brought out all of that, you know, so I'm much more, definitely much more sensitive, to different topics and things of that nature. And, even just this recent, you know, when they took all of the things away, tearing up, just thinking about it and I had to have my daughter who's 20, you know, kind of say like, no, this is a new fresh, because I was like thinking, you know, I'm divorced from her dad. I mean, we have a great relationship, but you know, it was like the table. We've had this table, like, we had this table when we were married. We had this table in our very first apartment. And, you know, it was a fantastic Crate and Barrel table. Shout out to Crate and Barrel and their amazing longevity. but, you know, it was all the bedroom furniture. And it was very nice, you know, lazy boy, you know, this sounds materialistic, but it was very, you know, we bought that for our first house together with our kids. And so, you know, it was like a passing of like not having these material, you know, and yes, they're material things. But it was like, you know, all of a sudden I lost everything. Like I'll, you know, like the lady was going through and just like, okay, that's damaged. And I finally just said to her, it's like, why don't we just focus on what I get to keep? can we just sort that out at this point? And I was like, okay. But yeah, so the crying is definitely a result of that. Just going through all of that emotions. My mom probably would have my mom would, she would disagree. She did always have, you know, I love her to death. And, but, you know, she had a way of having a little bit of revisionist history in how she kind of, you know, raised us. I mean, she raised us primarily as a single mom. My stepdad came to our lives when I was 12. You know, I mean, he's my father in all sense of the word, but, you know, she wasn't a big, like, I remember always being told as a child, like, you know, you need to stop crying. Don't go there. Cause we would do that little huffing, like, stop that, you know? And even on my dad's, you know, the day of his services, one of my stepsisters was crying a lot. I had already been crying. I was literally sitting in the living room with just my sunglasses on. And my mom said something about one of my stepsisters and was literally like, she's going to need to pull it together for this. And I let her know that I'm crying. But, you know, when my son went to college, I was a horrible mess. And even my mom, like, you know, my mom just wasn't a crier in that sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and even when I left my son at college and we were flying, because he went back to the University of Missouri. And literally she's like, I am, you know, like getting on to me in the car because I was still crying after leaving him. And I will say this, years of therapy will teach you like where all this stuff comes from.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mom would have just like, if she heard me say this, she would definitely disagree. She would, you know, argue that none of this, like she's, you know, she would revise the history or my interpretation of history in my childhood from that standpoint. So I think that it's probably been many years of holding things back and told not to cry that. And I also didn't grow up, you know, my grandmother was a very strong, independent woman, you know, came from a family of, you know, 12 kids. She actually was the first female graduate of University of Missouri's medical school.
Wow.
She went on to be chief of staff at the local hospital. She didn't marry my grandpa until she was 40 or 39, had my mom when she was 40. Of course, this is back in a day and age where, you know, women didn't go to school. Yeah. You know, and, you know, I always think like more so my great grandparents, what amazing people they had to be because they supported her and allowed her to do that. And then my great aunt never married. She actually helped pay for my grandmother to go to school because she left to go teach and taught on Indian reservations, left the small town in Missouri. So I grew up with like these really strong women that I truthfully can tell you I never saw cry.
That's interesting. So for our listeners, for people who perhaps grew up in a similar way and are not in touch with the beauty that is a good cry, what would you suggest?
I think you have to be in touch with your emotions. And I think you have to give yourself the permission that saying that crying is okay. You know, crying is, you know, it's a release of those emotions. And once you're kind of, you know, once you're done, you know, you have to kind of let yourself feel. Because I think when you turn yourself off to that particular emotion or letting yourself express your emotions in a way that, you know, it harms you and, you know, you start to think that you can't show your emotions in, you know, a full range of things. So, you know, and I think even, you know, anger to some degree can be, you know, constructive if, you know.
I absolutely think so. I think anger actually has a lot of power. And if you learn how to channel anger to good use, it can be a very, very strong motivator to move you forward. It depends on the situation, of course.
By all means. But yeah, I think it definitely, and, you know, and I realize, you know, again, therapy will always, I'm a big supporter of therapy, but
I am too.
You know, understanding where that comes from and like looking back and, you know, and of course I always preface that, you know, I absolutely love and adore my mom. And, you know, and grateful for everything. You know, she was a single mom, like I said, raising two girls. She worked full time. She went back to school, got multiple degrees. You know, and I look back now and I'm like, I don't know how she did it. You know, like, I'm like, but, you know, she also just had a way about her that, you know, she just like really, but I also know that was also how she was raised. You know, I know how that's, because I could see that with my grandmother. My grandmother, you know, just didn't have that, you know, just literally, I don't remember my grandmother ever crying. Like, nothing. I can't even think of a time that I remember that. And, you know, she was always very strong, very stoic. And so I know where my mom got it from. So.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners, for anyone who finds themselves feeling like you can't express emotion, we encourage you to give it a try. And one of the things I like to mention, I'm curious, Melanie, if you've heard about this. So a couple of wonderful PhD authors wrote a book about the stress cycle. And so it's like you have an emotion. So maybe it's anger, maybe it's sadness, maybe it's whatever. You express it and then you comfort. And it's the act of, it's going through the whole cycle. The comfort is a really important part of it because it calms your nervous system back down so that you get to start over from an even keel, as opposed to if you just keep building up and building up and building up, then that's how we get hair triggers. And it becomes really easy to just react in any moment. So I think, I mean, I'm totally with you. I'm with you on supporting. I think therapy is incredibly valuable for understanding roots of emotions. I think you can also get there with a good coach. And I think that there are so many healthy, constructive ways to experience and express emotion that will only make you feel better and more empowered. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's been, you know, I still have those moments of trigger.
Of course, you know, yeah, where, everybody does.
Like, you know, and it's funny because it was literally just the Facebook, you know, memory was just literally two pictures of the cat. It wasn't a picture of my mom or anything, but, you know, and that was a very difficult time. And, you know, just dealing with my mom and everything that she was going through and things of that nature. But, it's definitely, I think, allowed me to come back into my emotions and just, you know, it allows me to, you know, I just have that moment where I'm like, it's okay. It's not, you know, where I don't feel like, you know, I'm, you know, being judged or, you know, that I've given myself the permission, I suppose, to be able to focus in on that aspect of my life and be able to, you know, express those emotions and go through that as, you know, go through the process really. And from start to finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I even look at that as like, you know, the apartment and, you know, and there's so many things like in the apartment, like this is, you know, an opportunity for me to, you know, start fresh. Because of my parents, I had put off moving I put that on the back burner. It had been a conversation that I had had. Well, now I have everything packed because I had this wonderful company that came in and packed and cleaned everything. I have to find a few things to live, of course, but for the most part, everything's packed. Wow. So I can, you know, and so I'm looking at it just from a fresh start and everything's brand new in the apartment. Literally the kitchen was completely gutted. So, you know, so now it's just an overwhelming and like, okay, decisions, where do I go? What do I do? So that's a whole other topic.
Yeah. Well, so what would you say has been your biggest challenge in terms of mind cluck as you've gone through this experience? Like, what has your mind told you where you've just been like, whoa, that's not true. That's not helpful. Let's, you know, get that out of our system.
I think that in this particular case, I think I've been fairly just feeling like I'm completely lost. Like this was a completely lost, like, where am I going to go? How am I going to, you know, even like, how am I going to function? Like, you know, in these next couple of days, you know, I'm like, I don't, you know, fingers crossed the router will be able to work. Because I'm like, okay, so what happens if I don't have cable or I don't have Wi-Fi, not cable, that'll come, whatever. But, because I have to have Wi-Fi to work, you know, I'm a coach, I work remotely. I'm like, okay, I could pack everything, I could go, and we just have to deal with the noise at the Starbucks, and, you know, and, you know, or I could, you know, I could reserve a room over at the library and, you know, just, you know, stake that out for the entire time. And, you know, just that overwhelming sense of like not feeling, cause I'm a very routine type of person. Mm-hmm. And so not having a good routine definitely impacts me negatively. So whether it's the exercise, the, you know, giving myself excuses to not necessarily always eat the best I should. So I think just feeling like I'm kind of lost right now, or just like, okay, I don't know what the next step to do. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's kind of where I've really had to be like, no, you still have a roof over your head. Mm-hmm. You still have clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, like I suffered anxiety. Like it was like, I don't know. It was several weeks ago, but I was so paranoid that something would happen to the cat in the I was on the phone with my best friend. I was getting ready to go work out. The housekeeping lady had come, and I put him in his carrier, and I'm like, he'll be okay. Just ignore his cries. Like, but then I was like, oh my God, I have to get, you know, I felt like it was like my child at having left her at left.
Yeah.
Leaving. I felt like it was my son when I left him for the very first time with a babysitter. I would literally rush as soon as I got off because I went back to college after I had him. And as soon as I left class, I'd rush over to get him, and I'd be like, and they were finally like, you know, if you have things you need to do, this is his nap time, you can like come in a couple of hours. And I'm like, what? So I literally was like, rush back to the hotel, make sure he's safe, because I was like, what if he gets out and like, you know, we're in a hotel, like what, you know. But you know, I came back the very first time, and literally she had taken him out of his carrier. He was like relaxing on the bed. He had a TV on for him. I'm like, literally, I mean, he wraps people around his little paw. So I'm like coming probably across as a crazy cat lady, but I was literally like, what the heck am I rushing for?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I think it's really important for people to remember that sometimes when your mind tells you things and it gives you these anxieties and these fears, if you can take several steps backwards and be like, wait a minute, is that real? Like, is this really a concern? Or am I projecting something that may or may not happen? And maybe I don't need to be as worried.
Absolutely, because I literally, like, you know, I was like, it was like a cumulative, and then it's a snowball effect, and it's just like, you know, what started probably was the trigger of the cat, then was like, you know, what if I don't have the financial resources, you know, and, you know, like I still don't know like the exact number I'm getting from the insurance, because there's been a delay with that. So I haven't been able to, like, you know, I was trying to do too many things, like looking for a new place and like, what if I moved, right? You know, like literally trying to do everything all at once. And I just really needed to stop and go, okay, you know what? You can't move until you know how much money you're getting from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so you need to stop looking at places to move to. You're going to get the money, and then you can still make that decision. You know, like I had to, like, feeling like I wasn't going to, you know, like just, I don't know, you know, and I can't even really express where I thought that was going to end me up. Like I didn't, you know, it was just like this, just like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live. And okay, no, I do know where I'm going to live. I'm going to go back to the apartment.
Right.
You know, again, I'm a big believer in signs and, you know, just the universe showing up when you need them. You know, like Tuesday, I had a like this week's been kind of crazy because, like, I don't know why. Of course, I do this to myself. I scheduled a dentist appointment. I had a chipped tooth that had to get fixed. It was like 4:45 on a Tuesday. I was like, that's the worst time ever, because it was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to come back. I'm going to have this swollen mouth. I can't. I'm not going to want to work. I already know that. I'm like, who schedules an appointment? And I've been at the beck and call of delivery people and all these things. But I get to my dentist. You know, I've gone to this dentist forever. I look over and I'm like, oh, there's a mattress store right next to my dentist office. And I'm like, oh, never noticed it. Never paid attention to it. I was like, okay, if I'm feeling up to it, I'll go in after and I'll, you know, just check out, see what the prices are, because I need a bed. Because I don't have a bed. And I go in, lovely woman. We start to talk. Come to find out, she lives in the same complex that I do. We're starting to talk. She was an amazing, I got this like amazing deal. And then she's like, oh, I did a promotion for the whole complex, because we live in a very large complex. And she said, it was several months ago. Let me find it and I'll give you 10% off your entire purchase off of it. And she goes, oh, and this is great. You know what? And usually there's a delay and you have to wait like 2 or 3 weeks, which was what I was expecting for delivery. She goes, oh, I can have it delivered to you Saturday.
Wow.
So that's wonderful. So when you let my point of sharing that is, when you let go of like that fear and like, oh, these are the things that aren't going to happen, or these are the things that are pulling you back, or like, oh my God, how's this going to work out? How's that going to happen? You just let go. And I know it can sound kind of woo woo for some people, but when you do let you let it go to the universe, you let it say, okay, whatever's meant to be is going to work itself out. And of course it took me walking into that store and taking the time and whatever the case may be. But again, you know, and everything had like, it was the smoothest process I could ever have had in purchasing, you know, a mattress and the timing of the sale and all, you know, all these things.
So, yeah. And that's amazing, because that's something that can really be a big pain, like in any normal, you know, transaction.
Like nobody like looks forward to like having to spend a fair amount of money and, you know, in one fell swoop and then being like, okay, you know, and then with everything happening in this world, we're told, you know, I was expecting it. I was like, okay, I got the sleeper sofa so I could sleep there while waiting on, you know, I thought I was going to have to wait a couple of weeks for the mattress to be delivered.
Understandable.
And you're just like, oh no, we can do it Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
That's great. That's great. This, like, it is so easy to talk with you. We could keep going, but we're getting to the end of our time. So I just want to ask if there's anything that you'd like to share with our listeners before we go.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the one thing too, that's really helped me in my perspective and just in the big picture of life. And you know, you're aware of my volunteer work, but you know, my best friend and I, my best friend, Rachel and I, we went on a mission trip over in 2015. And now have started our nonprofit Hearts for Honduras. And, you know, in July, I got to go back for the first time in 2 years, which, you know, is like, that, you know, there's a reason we call it Hearts for Honduras, because they have a piece of my heart. I got to see the kids that we sponsor, hadn't seen them for 2 years. And, you know, and in the big picture of things, you know, anytime that I'm there, you know, I'm always reminded of just the simplicity of, you know, the things in life that are the simple things. And, you know, and that's always been a, I would say that's a, you know, cornerstone of just keeping me very balanced in life. And I, you know, many years ago, I downsized partially just because I saw a lot of excess in my life and things that I didn't need, you know, again, another life lesson occurring, you know, whether I like it or not occurring right now. And, you know, so that's, you know, so we're very excited about, you know, what we have. Really hoping we can develop a platform to share the stories and share why we support these kids and support the church that we work with and helping sponsor kids and developing You know, being able to provide a life and resources for those that just truly don't have access to it. There's not programs, yeah. There's not, you know, the things that we have here that you can get people connected to just don't exist in right. some, in these, you know, these, some of these countries, and particularly Honduras. You know, education is not a guarantee, you know, is not a guarantee.
Right.
Medical care is not, you know, is non-existent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people are, you know, impacted by the slightest of whether it's diabetes, which can be treated here. And, right. you know, so it's near and dear to me. And, you know, but again, it's also they're getting some of the after effects this weekend. So hopefully we're hoping that of the hurricane is that we hope that it will pass. And they, cause they do get bad flooding, and that causes a lot of havoc, to their, to the village that we work in. So
yeah,
fingers crossed that they're not going to be impacted too much. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so for everyone listening, we will have all of the information in our show notes, and you'll be able to check out Hearts for Honduras and if you're able to. So Melanie, thanks so much for being with us today and for sharing all of this information. I'm like, I'm going back over and I'm like, wow, we touched on a lot of different things. So
I know we could probably talk forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Just delighted to have you. And to our listeners, hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next time. All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clock clocking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindclock.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.